we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you so much, O God, for the presence of each and everyone that's here, Lord. I pray that you would bless us, and we ask for your help and guidance through us this morning, Lord. I pray that you would help our pastor, Lord, and preach a sermon that would edify us and that we would learn something from it, Lord. I pray that you would remove the distraction, O God, and help us to be attentive with the sermon, Lord. I pray that you will also give us a good weather this afternoon so that we can go out there and preach the gospel. I pray that you just bless the service this morning, Lord. We're asking all these things. We're bringing back all the glory and honor to you in Christ's name. We pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. And take out your bulletin here today, and we'll go through some announcements. And our verse of the week is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible reads, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." And that's a great verse. It will tie into our first sermon here today. We are a family integrated church, meaning children and infants are welcome during the services. We do have a mother baby room back there for your convenience, and then the men's restroom, and then the ladies' restroom. We have the basic rules on the mother baby room down there below. On the next page, we have our service times listed. First service is at 10 a.m. Usually the second service starts around 11:15, just a 10-minute break. This first sermon is going to be one of the longest sermons I've ever preached, though, and I will shorten the second sermon, but the first sermon is specifically kind of like the missions trip sermon, and so we will still get done at a normal time, but the first sermon is going to be like three times as long as the second one. Our Wednesday evening Bible study is listed there in the bulletin. Our official soul winning times are listed there as well. And, of course, we do have soul winning this afternoon starting around 1:45. The soul winning and anthem and tip starts around 1:30 and then soul winning at 1:45. Our salvations and baptisms are listed there. And this will really help us out to get our totals. We've got all the totals from the school ministry. What we do not have are the totals from the parks and the extra soul winning. We have a sheet over there on the round table. So if in between the services, if you could just write down your total number of salvations, not counting yesterday in our Saturday marathon soul winning, we got that total, and not counting the school ministry, but any other unreported salvations, it'll just make it a lot easier to get the final results for us. So it's right there on the table. Just write your name and just write down the total amount. Our salvations and baptisms are listed there for the year as well as the month for all of our churches and our monthly church services. The next page, our Bible memorization challenge, and this year is the book of Ecclesiastes. If you are able to memorize all of the chapters in Ecclesiastes, then you will get a very nice prize. One chapter per month will get you through the entire book. Once again, you don't have to quote it from 1:1 to the very end. Just every individual chapter must be quoted correctly at some point during the year. Upcoming activities, of course, today is the last day of our Manila missions trip. And, of course, tomorrow is the start of the Bicol missions trip. After the soul winning time today, we're going to have a brief meeting for those that are going to the Bicol trip. And it's nothing formal, just I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Some people are staying in Tobacco City. Some are staying in Legazpi. And I just want to make sure everyone's kind of organized. I do know of one person that is going to be joining from the U.S., and they're just going to be joining in Bicol. We have a Facebook group, and we have a WhatsApp group. And, you know, getting to one of those groups is just the easiest way to pass information. So if you have a Facebook and you're not in the group, let me know. Let one of the other people know. They'll add you to the group. If you have a WhatsApp account, then we can add you to that group just so it's very easy to pass information. And, of course, next Sunday, Pastor Menez will be preaching here. And so on Friday night in Bicol, we're going to have a church service. And some people have asked me about this. A lot of people are coming back on Saturday, so there's going to be a church service before everybody leaves. Obviously, if you're staying in Legazpi, Tobacco's a little ways away, so it's up to you whether you want to go or not. But we're going to have a Friday service. Instead of the Sunday service, it's going to be changed to Friday. So we do have a church service there on Friday night. And, of course, a lot of people at our church have decided to come back early to be here when Pastor Menez is preaching. And, of course, you know, we'd love to have you if you're able to do that. If not, though, Pastor Menez will also be preaching on Tuesday in Pampanga. That would be another opportunity to see him and to meet him. It's going to be at CDC Park at 3 p.m. So it's going to be kind of informal, you know, because we're going to be playing games and stuff. So you can just dress in shorts and a t-shirt, just kind of casual. It's going to be a much shorter sermon. It's just kind of, you know, a short sermon and then fellowship and food. But if you are planning to come down for that on Tuesday, I believe March 4th. Please give me a heads up because, you know, if there's 30 people we don't expect, we need more food, right? So I can't just, you know, create food out of nothing. So let me know if you're planning to come down. We'd love to have you, though. But if you're not able to come to see him on Sunday, that is another option on Tuesday on March 4th. And I am by faith assuming it is not going to rain. It's going to be outdoors, and by faith, it will not rain, right? Current upcoming series, we are in the book of Matthew. We'll have one sermon on that here today. Birthdays and anniversaries are listed down there below for the month of February. On the back, we have the basic rules of conduct and organization for a church. And you should have an insert in your bulletin to take notes for both of the sermons here today. So I believe that's it for announcements. We'll have Brother Marlon lead us in another song.
All right, for our next song, let's start our hymns to hymn number 70. Let's sing the song, Will Jesus Find Us Watching? Hymn number 70. Everybody on the first. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching with our lamps so trim and bright. Souls right home. Say, will they find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Have we been true to the trust he left us? If we obey all the Lord commands us, we shall then be truly blessed. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will he find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? On the last, I want everyone's voice. So here, so for the stanza, we're going to sing it without the instruments. And on the chorus, the instruments will come and join us. So on the last, everybody sing. Blessed are those whom the Lord find watching. In his glory they shall share. If he shall come at the dawn or midnight, will he find us watching there? Ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home. Say, will he find you and me still waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? Can you sing? This time, let's take our tithes and offering.
Reading, please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1. And as our custom, we will be reading the entire chapter, Genesis chapter 1. Please say amen if you're there. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruits, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater lights rule the day, and the lesser lights rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmaments of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth a living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Bless the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, please bless, Lord, for this day. Give us good weather for our soul winning and our fellowship later on. And I pray, Lord, that you'd also please bless our pastor and the preaching of your word, Lord, this day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we are in Genesis chapter 1. As I mentioned in the introduction, this is going to be a longer, in the announcements, I mentioned this is going to be a longer sermon, and we're going to have a long introduction because to have the impact on the scripture we're looking at, I want to kind of just give a background on this, and I'll give you the name of the sermon here in a little bit. But first thing I want you to understand is if you look up the word creep in the Bible, it appears in 39 different verses of either the form creep, creeping, or creepeth. And the first reference to the word creep in the Bible is actually found in Genesis chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says here in Genesis 1, verse 24. Genesis 1, verse 24. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, we have very broad categories of animals. And as you go in the Bible gets a little bit more specific. Here in Genesis 1, though, gives you very broad categories, and it mentions the creeping thing. In verse 26, it tells you why it calls it the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So it's describing what it actually does and why it calls it the creeping thing. Now, of course, the first thing that pops into your head is probably an insect, right? And certainly an insect fits underneath this of a creeping thing, but that's not the only animal that fits under this idea of a creeping thing. Verse 30, it says, "And to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And according to the Bible, even the creeping thing was a good thing that God made. Now, of course, we look at the creeping thing and the spiders and, you know, various insects, and they're just kind of gross. It's like, why did God make them or whatever? But God said that when he made everything, it was very good. Okay, go to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 in your Bible. Leviticus chapter 11. Now, the Bible mentioned the beasts of the earth, and there's a difference in the size of the creeping thing and the beast of the earth. So, for example, a lion would not be a creeping thing, right? A jaguar would not be a creeping thing. A zebra would not be a creeping thing. And, of course, the word lion is in the Bible, but, you know, some words and some modern-day animals that we have, the Bible doesn't specifically mention them. They could have derived from another animal that is mentioned in the Bible, or the Bible just does not mention them. But a creeping thing is referring to a much smaller animal. Insects are the most obvious thing, the thing that we think of. They creep upon the earth. That's what it's saying, but that's not actually the only animal that's being referred to. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 29. "These also shall be unclean on you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth." So once again, it is called a creeping thing. Why? It describes the action that it does. It creeps upon the earth. And then it mentions the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind, and the ferret, and the chameleon, and the lizard, and the snail, and the mole. "These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them, when they be dead, shall be unclean until the even." So the Bible mentions various animals, and one of the ones it mentions is the mouse, right? And when you're looking at these creatures that are being mentioned, aren't the creeping things a bit gross? Aren't the insects and the mice and the rats, I mean, aren't they a bit gross? Right? Obviously, I would be afraid of a large beast because it could possibly kill you, but there's just something gross about the way the bugs look and the way they move and the way they creep. It's just kind of weird. It's kind of gross, and the Bible mentions specifically the creeping thing, and it says they're unclean. Now, it should be obvious to you, but hey, don't eat the insects. It's gross. It's not good for you, right? They're creeping. They're unclean. They're disgusting. This is what the Bible is trying to put inside your head. Go to verse 41. Verse 41. "And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten." Now, of course, in our modern day, we can eat whatever food that we want. But at the same time, the animals that are on the restricted list, they're actually very unclean and unhealthy for you. And so obviously, you know, we eat pig and pig tastes good. It's not the healthiest meat, though. And, of course, you look at some of these other creatures that are on the restriction list, they would not be healthy for you. They would not be good for you. Now, yeah, there are a lot of cultures that eat these sorts of things, but, you know, I'm not saying it's a sin, but if you're wise, this is not your normal meat that you're eating. You say, why? It's going to be bad for you. It's unclean. It's not healthy. It says here in verse 42, "Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the clean and the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible is not painting insects in a positive light, or the mole, or the mouse. It's not, it's saying it's unclean. It's abominable. It's saying it's gross. What's interesting is I said there's 39 verses that use the word either creep, creepeth, or creeping. Some of those verses use it more than once, but 39 different verses. And the first 38 are referring to insects, mice, and these gross little creatures. But let me show you the last reference to this word, because the Bible's trying to teach you something. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts." The last reference to the word creep or creeping or creepeth in our King James Bible is referring to false prophets, false religious leaders. You say, what is the Bible trying to say? The Bible's trying to say that false prophets are like cockroaches. False prophets are like mice. Now, there's a lot of different creeping animals. For the purpose of this sermon, I think the two most common, at least in this part of the world, the word epis, which is cockroach in English, and the mouse. And so I want to put inside your head the cockroach and the mouse here today, because probably most of us in this room have probably had both of those creatures inside of our houses at some point. And look, if you're a normal person, you don't want cockroaches in your house. If you're a normal person, you don't want mice inside your house. Look, we're not over in India where we worship and bow down to these animals. They're gross. They're unclean. They're disgusting. And a normal person would not want these inside of their house. And the first 38 references, the Bible's saying the false prophet is like a cockroach, a mouse, a spider, a gross little creature. The last reference to creep is referring to a false prophet. That is the analogy that the Bible is trying to put inside your head. Say, Pastor, why would God make these gross little creatures? Maybe because God is trying to explain to you how disgusting and wicked and sick and abominable the false prophet actually is. Because you read it, it's hard to understand. It's hard to fathom how people could be that bad and that evil. And then you think of a cockroach, it's like, I get it, God. That's pretty nasty. That's pretty disgusting. Now I understand. You know, I read the Bible, but when I actually saw the cockroach in action, I get it now. False prophets are gross. They're disgusting. They're abominable. Turn your Bible to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11. Now, I mentioned on Wednesday to not waste your time on various things like paying attention to the news, so maybe you haven't heard it all, but you know, the biggest spiritual rat in this world, the biggest spiritual cockroach could very likely die today. Referring to, obviously, Pope Francis. He's pretty much on his deathbed. He's in critical condition. Just a day or two ago, the Vatican said, no, no, he's perfectly fine. Now they're like, critical condition. They're worried that he's going to die. You say, Pastor, how many tears are you going to shed if Pope Francis kicks the bucket and dies and goes to hell? Well, you know, I love math. Let's start adding some math to the missions trip, okay? Out of this eye, zero tears. Out of this eye, zero tears. Zero plus zero equals zero tears coming from me if Pope Francis dies. You say, why? He is the biggest spiritual rat on the planet. He's the biggest spiritual cockroach in the world today. Why would I be upset if a false prophet dies? Look, if I see a dead mouse, I don't shed any tears. If I see a dead cockroach, I don't shed any tears. In fact, if I see them in my house, I do my best to kill them. Because they're disgusting. They're gross. And Pope Francis is the biggest spiritual cockroach in the world, and I will shed zero tears if that creeping little spiritual false prophet dies today. Zero tears are going to come from me. When it comes to the false prophets being like a mouse or a cockroach, I was trying to get God's number of perfection, 7 different points, and then I realized, because I was stuck at 6, actually 6 is probably more fitting for the spiritual false prophet, isn't it? So we got 6 points here today. Now, I do want to mention this, that I don't believe when the Bible's comparing a false prophet to a creeping, you know, cockroach or spider or mouse, I don't think that God is trying to bring every creature inside of your head that creeps, although most would be fitting. And the reason why I say not everyone is, you think of the ant, and the ant is mentioned very positively in the Bible. But what's interesting about the ant is when we go through these points don't really fit with ants that much. There's actually a big difference between a cockroach and an ant. Now look, I don't like to have a bunch of ants in my house, but they don't gross me out. I mean, the ant's an okay animal. It doesn't really bug me, but there's something about a cockroach when you look at it where it's just like, this is gross. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel that way. Well, no offense, I think that's strange. Because cockroaches are disgusting. Cockroaches are gross. Mice are disgusting. Mice are gross. And those are the two creatures I want to drive inside of your head here today as I talk about the creeping, 6 characteristics of creeping false prophets. Point number one, they are dirty. A mouse is a dirty animal. A cockroach is a dirty animal. What's amazing to me is you can look up any animal online and they will say, well, it's not really dirty, it's just misunderstood. Right, like I preached that sermon on pigs. It's like, well, a false understanding. I preached that like a year ago. A false understanding about pigs is they're dirty just because they wallow in the mire. It's like, that means they're dirty, you idiots. And you go online, are mice dirty creatures? And there are a lot of people defending mice. They're not really dirty. And yet the common sense inside your head is like, no, I'm pretty sure mice are right. You see them climbing out of a sewer. They're pretty dirty creatures. Here's what it says in Leviticus 11, verse 29. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel and the mouse and the tortoise after his kind. What's another word for unclean? Dirty. And I said, point number one, they are dirty creatures. They are unclean. They are not clean. The cockroach and the mouse, according to the Bible, is dirty, it's unclean. Verse 30, and the ferret and the chameleon and the lizard and the snail and the mole, these are unclean to you among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until the even. Why would you be unclean if you touched a cockroach or a mouse? Because it's dirty. And you touch it and you're going to be dirty. Now look. You know, we have cockroaches sometimes at our house, usually the small ones. And look, I prefer to either smash it with my shoe or get like a tissue or a napkin to just pinch it. But you know, sometimes, because those little critters are very fast, aren't they? Sometimes you see it and you don't want to let it get away and it's like, bam, if you're like me. And then what do I do right after that? I wash my hands. You say, why? Because they're dirty. They're gross. I don't want to do that, but it's like, I don't want that dirty creature inside my house. I'm going to kill it. And I can't risk letting it get away. You say, why don't you want them in the house? They're dirty. They're unclean. And if you have them in the house and you're around an environment that is very unclean, then you're going to be unclean. You're going to be dirty. Turn your Bible to Jude 1. Jude 1. And in fact, this is what it says from AI Overview, which is kind of like the Google default, kind of like ChatGPT, I guess. It says, no, mice are not dirty animals. And in fact, they groom themselves often. Now look, I do appreciate ChatGPT and AI Overview because they're very good at giving you some information. But right there is proof that you can't necessarily trust everything that they say. Number one, the Bible said they're dirty, but common sense tells you they're dirty. They're not clean. You know, over in India, they've got that famous rat temple, which is like the greatest spiritual experience ever, where people just are in there, and there's like thousands upon thousands of rats. And, you know, there's no restrictions. The rats are just using the bathroom, just eating whatever. People have the rats, you know, crawling over them. And I remember just, like, reading online, you know, like, what is it, TripAdvisor, the reviews, and people, and a lot of people said it was, like, the greatest experience ever. They're like, my feet were in the milk while the rats were drinking the milk out of the same dish of milk. And I'm like, there are some strange people in this world. But one of the things I read, it made me start to laugh, where the person said, like, I really expected a great experience, but it was a lot dirtier than I expected. I'm just thinking, what did you expect at a rat temple? It's not just images of rats. It's called the rat temple because they're rats. And if you accidentally step in one and kill it, you got to buy a golden or silver rat outside the temple as an offering because you accidentally killed one of their gods, right? But rats and mice and cockroaches, they're dirty creatures. They're disgusting creatures. They're very dirty. In fact, one proof of this is that both mice and cockroaches are on the list of animals that practice coprophagy. And I might be mispronouncing that, but that means that you eat dung. You eat poop. Both mice and cockroaches eat poop. You say, Pastor, I mean, this is not the most pleasant sermon. Yeah, I'm preaching about mice and cockroaches. It's not going to be the most pleasant sermon. Because I'm trying to drive in your head how wicked and disgusting and dirty the false prophets are. And I can't think of something more dirty than just that. It's gross. You say, why do mice gross you out? Why do cockroaches gross you out? Maybe because they do that. It's pretty disgusting. And of course, you know, what is one of the secrets to getting rid of mice and cockroaches in your house? Clean the house. Why is that? Because they like dirty environments, right? You say, well, what does this have to do with the false prophets? Well, look, there's a wrong assumption that people have. Most people in this world will look at someone of another religion that's a spiritual leader, and they will think, I don't really agree with what they teach, but they're a nice person. I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird. These Buddhist monks that shave their head and put on like this orange giant scarf or whatever. It's kind of weird. I wouldn't do that, but, you know, I think they're very spiritual and a nice person and sincere. Or they'll look at, you know, a Hindu Swami. Yeah, it's kind of weird that they got the red dot or the three white lines on their head. I mean, it's kind of strange. What they believe is a bit weird. They got all these gods and stuff, but they're a nice person. Or they might even look at the Catholic priest and say, hey, because look, don't most kids growing up here in the Philippines think that the Catholic priest, first thing you go to Catholic church and they do what? Mono to the Catholic priest to give reverence, to give respect. Why? Because they think the Catholic priest is a nice person. Even if they don't believe in Catholicism, they would still say the Catholic priest is nice, Pope Francis is nice, all these other, I mean, I don't believe in Joel Osteen, but he's a nice person. That is what people think. And the Bible's saying no. They're like cockroaches. They're like mice. It's not just saying, well, they've got false beliefs. No, no, no. They are dirty. Because look, the Bible mentioned clean and unclean and holy and unholy. And it's giving the physical example to understand the spiritual. And these creatures are unclean. And when you compare that to the false prophet, they are dirty, unclean, sinful creatures. And they act just like animals. You say, what are some examples? Well, how about getting drunk all the time? I mean, isn't it true at a Catholic church that the Catholic priest is pretty much, you know, wasted at the end of the service, just drinking all the wine? How about doing drugs? That's pretty unclean. How about just going out and fornicating with a bunch of people? You say, no, 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 the spiritual leaders don't do that. Have you not seen all the scandals with the Catholic priests? Have you not seen the scandals with other religious leaders? It happens all the time. You say, how is that possible? Because they're false prophets. They're unclean. They're dirty. They're like a spiritual mouse. They're like a spiritual cockroach. They're very sinful, they're very dirty, they're very disgusting creatures. Jude chapter 1, Jude 1, verse 3, beloved, and so, you know, I told you that the word creep appears in 39 verses, creep, creeping, or creepeth, and that's true, but there's actually the past tense of creep, because the 39th reference is in 2 Timothy 3, which we looked at. The last reference, the 40th and final, is also referring to false prophets. I think God's trying to teach you something. When the first 38 are referring to the mouse, and then the last two, the false prophets. Verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men, notice this, crept in unawares. The past tense of creep. Referring to who? Well, you know, it's not as specific here in Jude, but this is parallel to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2 is very clear. We're talking about false prophets, right? And the Bible is saying the false prophet is like a spiritual cockroach. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Notice this. Ungodly men. Are these spiritual leaders godly that are false prophets? Is Pope Francis a godly person? Was Pope Benedict a godly person? Is that whoever becomes the next pope, which I sure hope it's not the Filipino possibility. Is he going to be a godly person? Nope. Is the Hindu leader a godly person? Nope. Is the Muslim leader a godly person? Nope. And neither is the so-called Christian that's actually unsaved and a phony. You say, well, what are some names of these false prophets you're referring to? Well, how about Paul Washer? Mister, repent of your sins. Mister, there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. If you're really saved, you would never walk in the flesh. It's like, what? I mean, the Bible commands us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, meaning we have free will. How about John MacArthur? I mean, John MacArthur, because here's the thing about this. I mean, we're going to see later on, they often have a form of godliness. And you say, well, why are you calling out names that a lot of people really like? Because of the fact they can more easily deceive people that are saved than good people. When I first got saved, I'm sure I could have learned a lot of false things from people that were similar, but actually very different. Because look, it's not like it was, I mean, even when I was a kid, before I was saved, I thought that Pope Francis was a weirdo. I thought the Catholic Church was bizarre when I was a kid. I thought it was a cult. I've always believed that. That's what I was taught. I wasn't saved, but I was like, why is this guy wearing a dress? And then they're bowing down and kissing his foot and all these weird things. But here's the thing about that. I wouldn't have thought that about, you know, the minister of my church in the United Methodist Church. Even after I got saved, I was like, well, I hope he's saved. And I actually talked to him, found out he wasn't saved. Imagine that. But the thing is, I would have known it about the Catholic Pope. I would have known it about the Hindu Swami. I would have known it about the Buddhist monk. But just various generic Christian leaders that have the wrong gospel, I would have just assumed that they're sincere and nice and just deceived. And then, of course, as you learn and you get older and you read the Bible and you get experience, what do you realize? These people are spiritual cockroaches. They are spiritual mice. They are wicked, disgusting, depraved. And the Bible says ungodly men. They are not good people. Say, what does that mean? Look, you can go online and listen to John MacArthur, and the person asked this question in this Calvinist forum, what's the difference between smoking weed and drinking wine? This is literally what John MacArthur said. He said, you know, the purpose of smoking weed is to get a high, and he said, when you drink wine, it does not inhibit your judgment at all. I'm just like, and then people clap. I'm like, what kind of an idiot are you? I mean, drinking wine doesn't inhibit your judgment? Regardless of what you think on the topic, if you think it's a sin or not, of course it inhibits your judgment. You got to be kidding me. You say, what is he showing? He's showing that although he has a form of godliness, oh no, he's not living a holy and separated life. I mean, maybe you've seen on the news with T.D. Jakes. I mean, how many guys have come out and said that they were sexually assaulted by T.D. Jakes? A lot. You say, man, I'm shocked. I'm not shocked. You learn as you go that these false prophets are spiritual cockroaches. They're just like the creeping thing from Genesis 1, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and Jude 1. Then it says down here in verse number 7, and the context of this chapter is about false prophets, but in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, once again, unclean, just going around, sleeping around, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers. What's another word for filthy? Dirty. And in fact, filthy is a stronger word than dirty. It's like, is it dirty? It's like, I mean, are mice dirty? No, they're filthy. I agree with the AI overview. Are mice dirty creatures? No, they're filthy. Is a cockroach a dirty creature? No, it's filthy. And the Bible says these false prophets are filthy, they're sinful, they are wicked people. Go in your Bible to John chapter 3. John 3. Now look, you know, sometimes you read things in the Bible and it's hard to comprehend unless you see it in action. You know, I'll give an example I've given before with my wife, because you know, here in the Philippines, one of the major problems is there's this huge LGBT culture. And it really shocks. I mean, we have a lot of Americans here today, and it's like the biggest shock to Americans when they first get here, like, whoa, I've never seen so many cross-dressers in my life. It is a major problem here in the Philippines. And I remember, you know, when my wife and I first started talking, I was explaining to her about how there's bad people, children of the devil. And, you know, I was kind of lightly explaining it and everything. And, of course, you know, my wife has been Baptist for longer than me. And, of course, that kind of flies in the face of what most Baptists teach, right? And so when I first told it to my wife, it's kind of hard to comprehend that there's literally people out there that are just bad, like specifically referring to the LGBT, that they are just a bunch of predators and wicked and disgusting people. And I remember my wife kind of had trouble fully comprehending it. She saw it in the Bible and she said, that's what it says. But I remember she called me one time and she was on a jeepney and there was these two homos and this little kid went in. And then right after they got out, they just kind of openly said, this kid's going to be easy. All we have to do is buy him something. We can do whatever we want with him. And my wife was like so disgusted, so horrified. And I remember, you know, she called me, she was talking about it. And I was like, I think she thought I would be surprised. I'm like, yeah, you know, it doesn't surprise me. Because here's the thing about this. You kind of have to experience it to fully get it. And then you realize, whoa, that's what they're actually like. And see, with false prophets, I think it's very hard for us to understand how these people that have a form of godliness are actually really disgusting and perverted and wicked people in their personal life. And I believe that's why God's trying to drive home. Think of the cockroach. Think of the mouse or the rat. It's like, yeah, they're pretty disgusting creatures, aren't they? And God's trying to say, hey, that's what the false prophet is actually like. Point number one, the comparison between the false prophet and the mouse or the cockroach is they're dirty or they're filthy. But you know, another thing that shows the similarity between the false prophet and the cockroach and the mouse is they hate the light. Isn't that true with cockroaches? I mean, you go home tonight, you turn on the light, there's a good chance all of a sudden you're just going to see a bunch of just creatures just... Right? I mean, like, at our new house, like, we have not had a mouse there. We've lived there over a year. And we have a lot of neighborhood cats. You know, I don't have a pet cat. I'm not really into animals. But I don't really like cats at all. Even when I was a kid, like, I'm not a dog person now, but as a kid, I loved dogs. I hated cats. I don't like cats at all. But, and you know, sometimes the cats really annoy me because they get in the trash, they tear it up a little bit, or they use the bathroom, you know, right in, you know, your front little area, and you got to clean it up. It's kind of gross. But then I remind myself, what would I rather have, the cat or the rat? Not that hard of a question for me. What would I rather deal with? The cat doing that, you know, once every 2 weeks, or having mice in my house? It's like, I'll live with the cat doing that every few weeks. Because they will keep away the mouse. Now, for those of you that are Americans, a little bit different here because the rats are bigger than the cats. I mean, there are some huge, huge rats here. I mean, I'm amazed how they can really, because I remember seeing this rat crawl into the sewer when I was out walking one time. I'm amazed how it could be so big and find a way to just fit inside a small little space. I mean, it's kind of scary, right? But in all seriousness, having cats around the area, it's like you just don't see mice and rats in our area because there's just a lot of stray cats that are running around. And you know what? That's far better than dealing with the mouse. But when you think of mice and you think of cockroaches, they hate light. You turn on the light, they'll run. You say, well, why is that? Well, they're both nocturnal animals. They prefer to be awake at nighttime and asleep in the light. What's interesting about this is the vast majority of creeping animals are nocturnal. But the vast majority of larger animals are like us. They're awake during the day and they sleep at night. Isn't it interesting, the disgusting little creeping things, they hate the light. They're awake when it's dark. And of course, as a human, that's kind of weird. Now, obviously, you know, you might work a job where, you know, you work through the night or whatever, and I get that, but doesn't it just kind of, even like in our body itself, it's like when it starts to get dark, you start to get tired. I've driven for 18 straight hours before in the U.S., like when my wife and I moved from, you know, Pennsylvania area to Sacramento, California. One day I drove for 18 hours with like two very short bathroom breaks along the way, because we were trying to make it out in just a couple days, like a 45-hour drive or something like that. And, you know, my strategy was basically start about an hour and a half before it gets light, because I can kind of will myself to stay awake while it's dark. And then when it's light, you're not going to fall asleep because it's light outside. And I remember I was trying to go as far as I could get, and then basically all of a sudden it started to get a bit dark, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, I had to fight to stay awake. You say, why? Because the darkness has that effect on it. It actually has a physiological effect. It's not just psychological. It has a physiological effect where you're actually going to get tired as a result of it being dark. And I remember, you know, this was the second day on our travel, and, you know, I'm trying to make it one more town, right? Just 40 more miles to the next stop. And I remember I was like, I was really tired, and the next stop was a long ways away, and we stayed in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's like the home of some of the biggest spiritual rats in America, you know, the head of the Mormon church right there in Salt Lake City. And I was like, are we really going to stay in Salt Lake City? It's like, and that's where we stayed our second night on our travel. But what I'm saying is that, you know, as humans, you know, we're awake during the day, we sleep at night. But the creeping things are usually nocturnal, including both the cockroach and the mouse. So you won't really see mice awake as much during the day, but if you've ever woken up early in the morning and if you have a mouse in your house, sometimes you hear them inside the kitchen. They're just running around, scurrying around, and they're doing it when it's dark. And then of course you turn on the light, and then all of a sudden sometimes it gets scared and might jump right over you. It's just like, right? Well, how does that relate to false prophets? Well, here's the thing about this, you know, with animals, they hate the light, right? What is the light? Because we're using the physical to explain the spiritual in the sermon. So what is the light, spiritually speaking? Well, I could think of the light of God's word. I could see the light of the world is Jesus. You think of the Bible, you think of God's word, that's light. You say, well, wait a minute. Spiritual false prophets, they do like God's word. No, they don't. They hate God's actual word, and they hate the actual preaching of God's word. I mean, didn't the Pharisees try to kill Jesus over and over and over? You say, why? Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Now look, our church is not a small church, but we're not a mega church, and we're never going to be a mega church. You say, why? Because at our church, I just preach the truth. And although you're here because you want to hear God's word, isn't it true that most people don't want to hear God's word? Isn't it true that most people want to live a sinful life and never have somebody tell them, no, you're wrong, you need to make a change? Why? Because their deeds are evil according to the Bible. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And what I would like to ask the Pharisee, if you are such a good and spiritual person, why are you acting like a spiritual rat? Why do you hate the light and the preaching of God's word so much? Why are you like a cockroach that is hiding in the darkness and then you just scurry once the light comes on? Now, what's interesting in this chapter is that Jesus is addressing a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee, but in John 3, Nicodemus is not actually a bad guy, but he's a Pharisee and he's hanging out with a bunch of Pharisees. And what's interesting is that if you go to verse 1 of the chapter, it says in John 3, verse 1, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. You say, well, why is he coming by night? Well, because he's afraid of getting caught coming during the day. And the thing is, if you are hanging out with a bunch of spiritual cockroaches, you're going to start acting like a spiritual cockroach too. And I think that's kind of one thing Jesus is trying to say, like, why are you acting like a spiritual cockroach? I mean, if you're not like them, why are you hanging out with them? And, you know, one thing I would love to ask a lot of Baptist preachers, if you really believe salvation is grace by grace through faith, why are you hanging out with a bunch of false prophets that are preaching a false gospel? Look, here in the Philippines, at almost every single Baptist church, Manny Pacquiao would be welcome to get up and preach a sermon. Not at this church. Now, look, don't misunderstand me. If I met Manny Pacquiao, I would try to give him the gospel. I'm not saying that he's a child of the devil, but he doesn't have the same gospel that I have. And I'll try to give him the gospel. I'm not going to let him give us the gospel. Well, I mean, if you get a driver's license, I mean, there's conditions, right? If you want to get your driver's license, it's like that guy's like, yep. And if you don't believe me, just look it up. We had a video on Manny Pacquiao we put up several years ago that just shows a full-blown work salvation. And the thing, you say, well, why are you that strict? Because why would I hang out with spiritual cockroaches when we're not that? If we're clean, why would we hang out with the unclean? I mean, if we have the right gospel, why would we invite somebody coming in here that has the wrong gospel? Other Baptist churches, Jewish rabbis get up and speak. It's like a Jewish rabbi, I mean, what do I have in common? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. So why would I have a Jewish rabbi get up and explain the Old Testament to me when he doesn't believe in the Son and doesn't understand anything that he's saying? The same reason why we're not going to have high-level politicians come in here and speak. You say, why? Because of the fact we believe salvation is by grace through faith, and we're going to have nothing to do with spiritual cockroaches. Turn to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11. See, the first thing that you can think of with mice and cockroaches is they're dirty. It's probably one of the first things that comes to your mind. And you say, well, but false prophets, they're not dirty. They're not sinful. Oh, yes, they are, because the Bible's saying they're like a mouse or a cockroach. Another thing you think of the mouse and the cockroach is they hate the light. They're nocturnal. They are awake at night and sleep during the day most of the time. They hate the light. You turn on the light, they just run away. And guess what? The false prophets, they hate the actual light of God's word. Point number three, when it comes to the mouse and the cockroach, they spread disease. That's one of the big problems with them being dirty creatures is they are disease spreaders. Yeah. It says here in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 41, "And every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them ye shall not eat, for they are an abomination. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled thereby." See, the Bible says that if you are around that atmosphere and you touch them, since they are unclean, you become unclean. You become abominable. They can spread it onto you. Now look, Jesus is giving you an actual physical example, but he's trying to drive home a spiritual point to you. Look, if you kill a mouse in your house, are you going to pick that up with your hands? I mean, I killed mice at my old house, and guess what? I didn't pick it up with my hand. I mean, yeah, sometimes I don't want to let the cockroach get away, so I resort to smashing it. But, you know, then it's like I wash my hand, and I get a tissue, and I throw it away. You say, why? Because it's dirty. And it could spread disease. I didn't even know this, but somebody told me at our church in Pampanga yesterday that cockroaches can spread polio by biting. It's like these creatures, they spread diseases. And you think of a lot of the biggest disease spreaders out there. I mean, what are they? They're the insects. They're the little bugs. They are the creeping things. Those are the ones that actually spread these diseases. And the Bible's saying, hey, you know what? That's what the false prophet is like as well. Verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defy yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten." What is the Bible speaking about in terms of spiritual false prophets? How do we apply this? Not getting their disease spread to us. How about never listening to Eli Soriano? How about never watching a debate with Brother Eli? You're going to learn bad things from both sides. Some of the dumbest things I've ever heard from anybody's mouth are out of the lips of Eli Soriano. Well, I mean, God is not really omnipresent. It's just the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Yeah, I mean, that might sound wise to someone that doesn't know anything about the Bible, but it sounds pretty dumb to me. Why would you listen to a false prophet? What are you expecting to learn? What do you hope to learn? I'll tell you what you're going to learn. You're going to get this disease spread to you. You'll start getting foolish doctrine. Look, if you know somebody's false, don't listen to them. Just read the Bible. Find a good source. If you want to hear good preaching, find a good source of information and listen to that. Don't listen to bad sources of information. Turn your Bible to John 10. John 10. John chapter 10. See, the Bible compares the false prophet to the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. First 38 references are referring to cockroaches, referring to mice. And then the last two references referring to false prophets. What is the Bible trying to tell you? Well, the Bible's trying to say that just as the cockroach and the mouse is dirty, so are the false prophets, very sinful and wicked people. Well, the Bible's trying to say that, you know what, just as the cockroach and the mouse, they hate the light, the false prophets hate the actual preaching of God's word. Think about the Pharisees that wanted to kill Jesus for the words that he had to say. Just as the cockroach and the mouse spread disease, false prophets spread false doctrine and deceive and confuse people. By the way, as I said, I don't think that we're thinking of every creature that's out there, because with the points we looked at, does that really describe the ant? No. I mean, ants don't seem to be afraid of light. I mean, yeah, they'll eat like leftover food, but it's not like they're just hanging out in dirty places or whatever. I mean, they're not really like the cockroach. I don't have a problem with ants. I have a problem with cockroaches. I don't have a problem with all animals. I've got a problem with mice And that's what the Bible's trying to say, that this is what the false prophets are like. This is what Pope Francis is like. This is what the false religious teachers are actually like that are preaching a false gospel. They are like a spiritual cockroach. They are like a spiritual mouse. Point number four, they're scavengers. They're scavengers. Why does a mouse go inside your house? To steal the food that you've left over. Why does a cockroach go inside of your house? To steal the food and the crumbs that you have left out. Is that not true? They're not producing their own food. They're just stealing the food that is out there. They're scavengers. And by definition, a scavenger is an animal that feeds on carrion, dead plant material, or refuse. Refuse, just what's left over. And that's what you have with mice. I mean, one of the secrets, as I said, clean your house. It's going to help get rid of the mice. It's going to help get rid of the cockroaches. Why? They don't have anything to eat. John 10, verse 7. John 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, there have been a lot of people that have stepped up at one time or another and claimed to be the Messiah, claimed to be the Savior, this spiritual guru, God manifest, whatever. And it's not just all the ones before Jesus. That also includes a certain man in Davao that claims to be the Son of God today. All that came before and all that came after. And look, in America, you had Jim Jones. In America, you had Charles Manson. Go back and look at the lives of those people. Charles Manson, you can go and read on Wikipedia, for those that are not aware who he is, Charles Manson became famous because he claimed to be the Son of God, and then he convinced his little cult to murder a bunch of people, including some celebrities, back in, I think, the late 60s. And so it became like an internationally famous thing. You know, he's in prison until he died a few years ago. And he claimed to be the Son of God. But if you go back to when he was a teenager, he was arrested as a teenager for forcing a young little boy, sexually assaulting him at knife point. What is the biblical punishment for that according to the Word of God? Death. And guess what? They could have prevented all those murders if they just put him to death. I mean, when God's commandments are in the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. But that's not what's going on in countries today. They don't apply what God says. They don't follow the rules of the Bible. They don't follow the commandments of the Bible. All that ever came before Jesus were a bunch of thieves and robbers. And isn't that what a mouse is doing when it runs in and eats the bread on your kitchen table? It's a thief. It's stealing. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, what Jesus is saying is there's a lot of bad people out there, and they are coming to steal and kill and to destroy. You say, what is the Bible trying to say? They are trying to destroy your life. Look, a spiritual cockroach wants everybody else to be a spiritual cockroach too. They don't want to benefit your life. They don't want to help you. Yeah, they have a form of godliness. They'll say they're there to help. They're not trying to help your life. They're not trying to help you fix your marriage. They're not trying to help you fix your parenting. They're not trying to help you become successful and be a godly person. No, because they are dirty and unclean. They want everybody else to be. Look, isn't it true, just in a sense, not even looking at children of the devil, but just normal people, if someone is a drunkard, they want everybody else to drink. If they are going to just do some disgusting sin, they want everybody to do the exact same thing. And these false prophets, they want everybody to be just like them. Disgusting, filthy, wicked creatures. I've said this story before. I know we have a lot of visitors here, so you might not have heard me say this, but I remember that, you know, a long time ago, I worked a job and, you know, there was this person, we were doing like a community activity. There's this woman that was clearly, you know, and let me help you out with the biggest miscommunication between Americans and Filipinos with words is the word tomboy, okay? Because here in the Philippines, tomboy means lesbian, And in America, that's not what it means. It just means a girl that's good at sports, at least where I came from. It doesn't really mean a lesbian at all, right? But there was this woman in the crowd that was clearly a lesbian, okay? So there's no confusion on what I'm saying, okay? And she had a rainbow on her shirt with one word, recruiter. It's like just saying, I want everybody to be just like me. And look, the LGBT might not admit that, but Vice Pongy, just a disgusting little cockroach, he wants everybody to be just like him. These homos want everybody to live the same wicked and disgusting and filthy. Because here's the thing, they don't enjoy their life. Don't be confused on this. They don't enjoy their life. They hate their life, and they want everybody else to hate their life too. And look, these spiritual cockroaches that are out there, these disgusting creatures, these disgusting rodents, they want everybody to be just like them. They want to destroy your life, and they're scavengers. They steal. So they might stand up and pretend to be something. Why? Because they want to get a following. They want to get people on their side. But in reality, it's like, no, you're just a disgusting little rodent. Point number one, the mouse and the cockroach, they're dirty. Just like the false prophet is very sinful and dirty. Point number two, the mouse and the cockroach, they hate the light. And the false prophet hates the preaching of God's word and the actual word of God. Point number three, the mouse and the cockroach, they spread disease. And the false prophet, they spread their false doctrine onto other people. Point number four, the mouse and the cockroach, they're scavengers. They take what you have. They don't produce their own. They're just taken from you. Hey, what? That is the same thing that the false prophets do as well. Point number five, they creep in. I mean, isn't that the exact wording to describe them? Because the Bible spoke about the creeping thing, and why did it call them the creeping thing in Genesis 1? Because they creep upon the earth. That's why the Bible refers to the mouse and the insect and, you know, the cockroach as a creeping thing, because they creep upon the earth. And here's the thing about this, the false prophet is just like the mouse, and guess what? They creep. See, notice what it says in John 10, verse 1. Because here's the thing, you have to understand this about mice and cockroaches, that they're not wanted. You don't want them in your house. I have never, look, we've had mice at our old house, we've had cockroaches, I have never seen a mouse or a cockroach walk through the front door. Have you? They don't do that. You say, what do? They creep in. I mean, sometimes you hear the mouse, it's like, where is it trying to get in at the house? Where do I have a hole? But they don't use the front door. And here's the thing about this. It's the same with the false prophet. John 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Look, you know, when I go home, you know what I do? I take my keys, I unlock the door, and I walk through the front door. I don't go through a window. I don't dig a hole in the side of the house to get in. I don't have to, like, sneak in, you know, to some spot that's small. I just walk through the front door. But, you know, I've never seen a mouse just walk through my front door. I've never seen a cockroach just walk through the front door. And yet, we have cockroaches in our house. We don't have a lot, but we have some. It's like, well, I didn't see them come in. You say, why? They crept in. They crept in unawares, didn't they? See, this is what the false prophet is like. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying the false prophet does not announce his presence. The false prophet doesn't knock on the door, taupo, and just walk in. No, you know what they do? They will go through the front door, but they'll pretend to be something that they're not. They're not making it real what they actually are. No false prophet says, I just want to let people know I hate my life because I'm a wicked and disgusting person, and I want you to hate yours too. Do you ever hear anybody say that? But make no mistake about it, that is the truth about Pope Francis. He hates his life. He's a disgusting spiritual cockroach. And he wants everybody else to be just like him. But he's not going to tell you that. He's going to seem nice. Say, oh, he's such a nice person, though. I mean, he's promoting, you know, love and peace. and kindness. He seems so nice. Joe Osteen, your best life now. He seems so nice. They're liars. They're phonies. They're creeping in. They are pretending to be something that they are not. They are pretending to be good people when in reality, you're not fooling me. You're just a spiritual cockroach. You are a spiritual mouse. You are a rat. That is what the Bible is actually saying. Go to Jude 1. Jude 1. See, false prophets are coming in to destroy you, so they cannot be obvious about it. Just like the mouse, I mean, it secretly tries to steal your food, doesn't it? It comes at night, and then if they're, you know, awake during the day, they're going to do it very quietly, and if you come near them, they're going to run away. Right? You get anywhere near a cockroach, and man, those things fly. They just start running. Sometimes they literally fly here, too. That's a little bit different in the U.S. versus here as well. They literally fly sometimes. But it's like they will go very, very fast. It's like you get near them. It's like you don't even know there's a cockroach. And look, I don't consider myself an incredibly, like, scared person. But when you see that thing crawling right by you, it's like the natural reaction is often to just jump back. Right? You say, why? They're gross. They're disgusting. They're filthy. Now look, when I see an ant, I don't move at all. I don't mind ants. I mean, if an ant was crawling on me, you know, I usually will just like kind of look at it. I don't even try to kill ants most of the time. I don't dislike ants. But if all of a sudden I had a cockroach crawling on me, it's gonna be like, it's gross. And imagine if you got like a mouse that comes inside your shirt or something. I mean, that would be nasty. But there's a difference between that and the cockroach and the mouse. They're gross. They're disgusting. And if they creep in, they do not make it manifest. Why? They are trying to steal secretly. You know what? The false prophet, they will pretend to be good, but it's all a facade. It's all fake. It's not real. They're coming to destroy your life. Jude 1, verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity. Notice this. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. See, you know, there is one difference between the mouse and the spiritual mouse. With a mouse, we know it's a mouse. But with the spiritual mouse, it's like they could be right in front of you and you have no idea that they're a spiritual cockroach, a spiritual mouse, because they're pretending to be something that they are not. Turn your Bible to look at verse 16. Verse 16, notice this. It says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And notice this, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, flattery. Why? Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They are trying to make you feel good. They are trying to get on your good side. Why? Because they want to use you. They want to take advantage of you. Now, a lot of false prophets, the big thing they're after is like Balaam, they're after the money. But then you look a lot of the spiritual false prophets, especially in these cults, and often it's like the young kids are sexually assaulted. And they use their position of power to basically just take advantage of young little kids. But they use flattery so people think they're so nice. They think they're so good. I mean, remember how shocked all the apostles are with Judas Iscariot, where they're just like, Jesus basically literally says, he's the one. It's like, well, I wonder why he said that. It's like it went straight over their head. And I'm not saying that the apostles were dumb. I don't believe that. It's just, it was really hard for them to fathom. Because Judas seemed like a spiritual giant. It's like, nope, he's a spiritual cockroach. Yeah, that's good. It's completely fake. Verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk out for their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. See, the Bible says these people, they separate themselves. What does that mean? They do things very quietly. They do things very privately. They don't make it obvious. They don't just announce it to the entire congregation. They do it very subtly. That's how they get away with it. Now look, me personally, you can ask me whatever I believe about whatever topic. I'll tell you what I believe. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. I'm not trying to hide what I believe. You ask what I think about salvation, I'll give you a very clear answer. It's not going to be one where you walk away saying, I wonder what Pastor Stuckey does believe about that. Does he believe in eternal security or not? I couldn't tell. In case there's confusion, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Once saved, always saved. Look, I'm not ashamed or afraid. You say, why? I'm not a spiritual rat. I'm not trying to hide who I am to take advantage of people. But you know what? Around this world, there are a lot of spiritual cockroaches and spiritual rats that will pretend to be something they're not. You say, why? Having men's persons and admiration because of advantage. Turn to Jeremiah 13. Jeremiah 13. I mean, if somebody asks you, hey, you know, I missed the sermon. What was the sermon about? You can sum it up like this. You know, pastor told us why God created the cockroach. Just try to show us that's what Pope Francis is like. That's kind of the summation of the sermon. That Pope Francis is a cockroach, a spiritual cockroach. As I said, he's pretty much on his deathbed. I don't know if he's alive or dead, but I'm not going to shed a tear either way. Point number one, cockroaches and mice, they're very dirty. I guess not according to like AI Overview and some of these other experts that are out there, but to the common person, it's like, no, I'm pretty sure a mouse is dirty. A cockroach is dirty. Point number two, they hate the light. And isn't that true with false prophets? They hate the preaching of God's word. Point number three, they spread disease. I mean, mice and cockroaches spread a lot of diseases. A lot of the big plagues have come as a result of mice or rats when they trace it back. And you know what? The false prophets, they spread their false doctrine onto people. Point number four, they're scavengers. The mouse and the cockroach, they are stealing from us. They come into your house and take the food. They didn't go to the grocery store and buy it, but then they come and take it off your kitchen table. And the false prophet, they're scavengers. They're just trying to steal what other people have done, and they want to destroy the life and take advantage of those that they steal. Point number five, they creep in. I mean, you know, you kind of have to creep in when you're not wanted because, look, if a mouse wanted to get into my house, I'm going to shut the door and say no. So what do they have to do? They got to find a way in. They creep in. And guess what? The false prophet, they do not let people know how bad of a person they are. They're creeping in. But lastly, they're unchanging. You see, a mouse will always be a mouse. A cockroach will always be a cockroach. And a false prophet is a bad person. They are a child of the devil. They are a reprobate. And they will always be a reprobate. Now, there are times when false prophets just change religion and they become a false prophet in another religion, but they're still a reprobate. A mouse will always be a mouse, a cockroach will always be a cockroach, and a false prophet will always be a bad person. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Jeremiah 13, verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. I mean, can a leopard change his spots, the Bible's saying? Now, here's the thing about false prophets. They can pretend to change, but they didn't change. You know, another animal the Bible mentions that is used to reference really bad people is a snake. In fact, that's probably the first one you think of. We are in the year of the snake with Chinese New Year. And the first, you know, the devil in Genesis 3 manifests himself as a serpent, right? And, you know, there's a lot of characteristics. I preached a sermon a couple months ago on the characteristics of snakes that you can look between, you know, the devil and snakes and bad people as well. But one of the things with snakes is snakes have a tendency to shed their skin, right? You know, and depending on where you live, like I don't see snakes as much here, but you know, growing up in kind of the country sort of atmosphere in the woods. It's like you would see snake skin in your backyard sometimes, and you know, well, a snake shed his skin. They do it about 4 to 12 times a year. Now, the thing is that when it sheds its skin, it almost seems like it's different. But the only reason it shed its skin is because it got bigger and its skin can no longer fit, so it falls off. But then guess what? It's still a snake, and it's going to do the same thing. And what, bad people, it's like, oh, they changed. I mean, don't you see that with people that get thrown in prison that are like murderers and serial killers and everything? It's like, oh, you know, I got right with God. I got saved. I changed. And yet, they haven't changed at all. They are still the exact same, right? And you know what? The false prophet, they can shed their skin a million times. They're still a reprobate. They're still a bad person. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll close up. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You say, wow, this is not the most pleasant sermon. Look, some topics are pleasant and some are not. How do you preach a sermon on false prophets and make it a pleasant one? No, actually, we see a physical example where the Bible is trying to say and show you how disgusting they are. Look, God made the cockroach for a reason. And one of the big reasons is to just show you and teach you how disgusting the false prophet is. The next time you see a cockroach, and look, you'll certainly see it here in the Philippines. You'll see cockroaches running around the ground either inside of a house or outside. It's like the next time you see a cockroach or a mouse or a rat, I want you to put inside your head, this is what the false prophet is like. This is what God is trying to teach me, just this disgusting creature. I mean, I think a lot of the creatures that God has created are amazing and wonderful. You look at them. I mean, I love the zoo. I love the aquarium. I find it fascinating. And, you know, there's a lot of big creatures that, you know, obviously I would be afraid of a bear or a lion if I was, like, face to face. But it's an amazing creature that God has created. And then you got the cockroach. And then you got the mouse. It's not like when I stop and I look at a cockroach, I'm like, man, what an amazing creation that God made. What I think when I see the cockroach is... That's what I think. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do these people sound like good people to you? They sound pretty bad. They sound pretty disgusting. They sound pretty sinful and wicked. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I mean, they have a form of godliness. And look, false prophets, they have a form of godliness. And look, sometimes false prophets, certain things they say are true. Certain things are correct. And it's very easy for them to deceive people. In fact, I would say every single person, when you first got saved, if you got saved as an adult, all of us could have fallen victim to false prophets that were pretending to be like-minded but weren't really. All of us could. In fact, our church is filled full of people that would say that at their old churches, like for a while they thought they were saved, and then at some point they realized they weren't really saved. And you say, well, how is that possible? Because a lot of people have, you know, their pastors are spiritual cockroaches. Right. And they think it's the same thing, but it's not. But don't those pastors have a form of godliness? I'm not saying every pastor's a bad person, but most are. I mean, sometimes I talk to people out soul winning that are kind of non-religious. They listen, but they're not. And, you know, one thing that I will sometimes mention to people like that is, you know, well, you know, who do you think Jesus preached against the most, religious people or non-religious? They always say non-religious. It's like, nope. Preach against religious people. Yeah. And guess what? If Jesus was around today, guess who he'd preach against the most? Religious leaders. He would not be preaching as much against the non-religious. Now, of course, there's the preaching like that as well. But a lot of the preaching would be centered against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. Verse 6, for of this sort are they, these false prophets, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Look, the next time you see two white guys with a name tag that says elder, with white shirts on a bicycle, that are an elder that's like 19 years old, with, you know, blondish brown hair and blue eyes, and they smile at you, realize they're a spiritual cockroach. They're not a good person. I mean, we've seen Jehovah's Witnesses in this subdivision, haven't we? Spiritual rats. But notice what it says here in verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, Jesus is the truth. And the Bible's saying that these false prophets, they are not able to get saved. The Bible says they could not believe. And see, here's the thing about this. No matter how much a rat dreams about, I just want to be another animal. I want to be a lion. I want to be a rhino. Nope, you're going to stay a rat. No matter how much a cockroach wants to be another creature, nope, you're going to be a cockroach. And you know what? A false prophet is always going to be a bad person. They're ever learning. They learn all of this spiritual information, and yet they are not able to actually get saved. You say, why? Because a spiritual cockroach will always be a cockroach. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and ask you to help us to apply this to our lives. God, help us just to understand the analogy that you're giving. Help us to understand how disgusting and wicked and evil these false prophets are, God. Help us to understand and learn and know our doctrine so we can defend what we believe, and help us just to rescue normal people that are at these churches and give them the gospel and help them see the salvation and get saved, God, so they don't go down that road as well, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, for our last song, let's turn our hymns to hymn number 45. Hymn number 45, let's sing the song, When I Can Read My Title Clear. On the first. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes. I'll bid farewell to Word of prayer. Amen. Let's have a short break.